Want to greet each one in the precious name of Jesus as well. We've certainly heard a lot of good things and been encouraged in a lot of ways already this morning. Good to see you up here leading songs, Brian. Welcome to there too. And also appreciated a lot the scripture that Brother John shared with us in devotions there on that. Job 28, and my mind often goes back to childhood when we had Joe Overholt visiting us. He read that chapter for family devotions one morning, and he had us memorize that last verse, and I've never forgotten it. Job 28:28, and unto man he said, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. He had us repeat that again and again, and I think I probably remembered it somewhat because it's 28:28, but it's a tremendous verse, and then he referenced the verses in Proverbs where he says, both fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. What a head start people would have if they would just simply take the Bible as its word, use it as their foundation, and build from there. It can be proved, it has been proven again and again, but that's a tremendous stepping stone. And so this morning, we are blessed to have a firm foundation available that we can build on. And so Brother Joe was sharing with us this morning. Also read about when we think about Egypt, we'll probably think about pyramids first thing, or one of the first things. That's a defining image of Egypt. And one writer said, "Egypt built the pyramids, but more than likely, it's the pyramids that built Egypt. The unity of working on a project, it works both ways there and that. And so, they didn't have, you know, that's what we think of Egypt today as the pyramids, a culture of death, like Brother Joe was sharing, and nothing very hopeful there. But today, Christianity, Christ at the center, has the answers for all of life's problems. And if our Christianity doesn't answer the problems in our life, then we don't have the real thing. At the beginning of World War II, when Nazi Germany was invading the island of Crete, they thought it was going to be a pushover, that they would be welcomed as liberators. Instead, they found a very stiff resistance there, and there was a boy by the name of Alexander Paderatoris. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, so we'll call him Alexander. That's easier. Alexander was 6 years old at the time, and he came upon a motorcycle wreck that was owned by a German soldier who was driving this. And out of the wreckage, he picked up a little piece of a mirror that was broken. But he took this piece of mirror, and he didn't have many toys to play with, but he took this mirror, and he cracked off all the sharp edges, and he had this thing round, and he just carried this thing with him all the time. And with this mirror, he could shine it into dark spots. Sometimes I see bright spots on the church ceiling there. I think it's our young people know the principle of reflection too. But that's what he would do. He would take this mirror and he would shine it into dark spots. And he just had this thing with him all the time. Well, when he grew up, he didn't have the hatred for the Germans that all of his countrymen had. And right at the airstrip that they used for the invasion, he was instrumental in beginning an institute, put a building there, an Institute of Peace and Understanding is what he called it. He thought that the Germans and the Cretans could both have something that they could share with each other. And so he was trying to develop a institute where they could learn from each other. It reminds me very much of one of the Beatitudes that Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." And in his effort to create peace, he had this institute. During one of his talks, somebody asked him, "What is the purpose of life?" And he brought out this little mirror that he held carried in his pocket, and he showed them and he told them the story how he got that. And he reflected that light into a corner, and he said, "That is our purpose." Jesus said in Matthew 5, he said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." And Alexander was explaining that our purpose in life is to be a light, to direct light into the dark corners of the world. And certainly that is an ongoing work of the Christian today. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, both said that both the Christians, that his disciples, and he was talking specifically to his disciples, he said, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of man. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So that's what I'd like to speak about this morning. Let your light shine that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We need to use the opportunities we can to speak positively and build each other up. And there's many things that the world shows lightly. One of the things I have to think about often is marriage. There's all these jokes about putting marriage in a negative light. As Christians, we can turn that around and put that into a positive light. There's just fewer things more beautiful than that. Nothing that I know of, actually. And so we can use the opportunities for that. For home and for church, all of those, it's an opportunity to use those for good. It's a blessing for me to see busy fathers looking for ways to spend time with their, finding ways to spend time with their children, seeing children go to work with their dad, and just being there. Probably not getting a lot of help from them, but just the companionship. It's a blessing to see that, and that speaks loudly about our values. Our values are not all about maximizing the dollar and getting the most out of it that you can, but it's building relationships and having time to do what is right. And then for the church as well, we can use these opportunities to let our light shine. Being a peacemaker doesn't mean that we just pull the ends together and peace at any cost, but it's shining the light. Shining the light into the dark places. And there are dark places. There are things hidden that the light needs to shine on and be revealed and take care of. And that's, the Christian is not ashamed to let the light shine. Let our values show where it counts, and and to be connected to the vine. John 15, familiar scripture there to us. John 15, verse 1, beautiful one. I am the true vine, and my Father is husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. In John 15, Jesus talks about we can easily identify with the vine that he's speaking of, because most of us at least have enough agricultural background that we know that in order to get fruit, the vine has to be connected. And it doesn't take long. And once the root system is cut, that leaves and fruit, if there is anything there, begins to wither and fade away. Here, about 2 years ago, our cherry tree was just loaded with cherries. And along came a strong wind and just snapped the thing off, the entire tree, right off at the root, right off at the stump, and just laid the whole tree over. Well, the cherries were not ripe yet, but as the tree lay there and wilted, in a couple days they turned red, but they weren't good. They it was before the time there. They were disconnected from the root, and so their fruit even was not good, even though it looked all right at that point. So it's important to be connected, and we all know that. But we all know that that's true in the natural sense. But it's even more so in the spiritual sense. Jesus has to be our connection in order to bring forth fruit that is pleasing to him, and that will glorify the Father. And in Hebrews 12, we have a few verses there in the first part of Hebrews 12 where the writer says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such a contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." In John 15, we talk about Jesus being the root or the vine, and we are connected to that in order to bring forth fruit. Here he says that Jesus is both the author and finisher of our faith, and our focus needs to be on him. Looking unto Jesus, verse 2, the author and finisher of our faith. I don't know of another man that was more experienced in all difficulties of the Christian life than what the Apostle Paul was. And this is what he says. One of the Sunday school classes had that this morning, I believe. "Brethren, I count not myself to apprehend it, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, there was Paul realizing that this is a continual focus. It wasn't just a one-time event for him. He certainly had a crisis experience in his conversion. And yet, it was a continual walk that he had. And there he is in Philippians saying, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 9:24, he says, Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul, again, is his running, his Christian life is not a half-hearted effort, but it's he's putting his whole life into it, his whole heart into it, and certainly following the footsteps of what his master said, let your light shine. Let your light so shine that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I think of a number of people, and I think all of these that we have listed here in the scriptures are young people. People that were in very, very difficult situations and absent from their parents in every case. They served God in extraordinary ways. And Moses, as Brother Joe referenced him this morning, was one of those. He was absolutely at the pinnacle he could have been the most important person in the entire world. None of us, no matter how we try, are ever going to get to the point where Moses was politically. He had it all right at his fingertips. And yet it says that he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater than all the treasures in Egypt. That is just a tremendous statement. It just says it in just a few words in the scripture, but that is something that is it just will blow our mind. Moses was right there, and he was there away from his parents. He was there away from a lot of advantages that we enjoy today. What made the difference? How did he get his roots down so deeply? And it was before he could even know of Christ at all. These were all there. Yet there it was. We have the example of Daniel. As he stood strong in the king's court, he was a man there by himself. Well, there were some other young men there that he no doubt associated with. But there he was without his parents, heathen court, a man that today we know that, again, young people had this verse this morning, that an angel was there and closed the lion's mouth. He had some tremendous experiences, tremendous wisdom. Just goes back to Job where he says, And unto man he said, The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. That was Daniel's experience, as well as the other Hebrews that were with him. We often refer to them as the Hebrew children, but they were young men that were able to stand, men that were in a tremendous disadvantage, and yet because they knew who God was, they were able to stand. There was the example of Joseph. Joseph also was in a very disadvantage. As far as we know, he was 17 when he was taken to Egypt. And tremendous temptation, possibilities, trials were his way. And yet we know Joseph's life was a life that he epitomizes forgiveness for those that did him wrong. And a tremendous example of what a true child of God ought to be, a man that was able to let his light shine in a very difficult place. These were all men that had a clear understanding of who God is, who knew what the fear of the Lord was, and that was their root, and that's where they built on. We have the story of Naaman's wife's maid. There was a young girl away from her parents in a hostile environment, and when she had the compassion that was should be associated with a child of God, and saw a suffering man, said, "You know, I just wish he could get to the prophet of God. There is a prophet in our country." And there was a word, and there was hope. Evidently, she was credible enough to be believed. And they sent that entourage over there, and sure enough, he came back healed, but not after a lot of persuasion. That's a tremendous story. That's in the Bible. It's true. And it's just a tremendous blessing to see the faithfulness of young people that knew who God was, knew who God is. They knew God, and their foundation was there, and they were able to bless other people as well. That's being connected. That's being letting their light shine, letting the light shine. And so, how is it for us today? Being a peacemaker doesn't mean ignoring bad situations, but it's bringing the light to them, bringing the light, shining the light, and aligning our life with the Word of God. You know, if we had to struggle, and everybody does, you know, a youngster, when they learn to walk, they learn the law of gravity, and they, even though we try to break it again and again, it's an unending law. I had a dream one time one night when I was about 9 years old, I think, and I dreamt I was standing on the table, and I walked real fast, and I walked right off the end of the table, and I just kept on going at that altitude. I could just walk, walk, walk. It was so real to me that I got up and I tried it. And it was not real. You know that it wasn't. That the law of gravity was just as much in effect the next morning as it was the night day before. It's just a constant. It is that way. I couldn't walk fast, and I just felt like I was doing it. And it was so real. But, you know, that's the way truth is. That's the way truth, the Word of God is. There might be ideas that we have that are not, that we can go around it sometimes, but the foundational truths of God's Word, they're absolutely secure, and we can build on that. And so when he tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith. All of those things are proofs of a life within. That's the way it is. And when he says that the works of the flesh are envy, murder, deceitfulness, you know, and all of those things, that's just the way it is. Those are laws that cannot be ignored or denied. That's just the way it is. So when we're a peacemaker, we're bringing light to those situations, bringing hope to where a situation, things can be made right, and hopefully being able to hope again. So. We're not carrying a little mirror around in our pocket today like Alexander did years ago. But we should be able, with our life, with our very life, to reflect the character of God into the dark spots of society that we face. We should be, by our very life, able to show what God expects and what He is looking for in a relationship with Him, and be an encouragement and a hope for those that are seeking that. We can do it by having a living relationship with Christ and being connected to that vine. Yesterday I took a walk down to the creek, and I saw a ditch down there that had been carved out by the floods that we had this spring. And in that, there's a number of interesting things there, but these trees, the water was almost, the ground was almost all washed away under some of these smaller trees. But because they were able to have the roots equalized on both sides, the tree still stands. Now, it gives testimony to the power of roots, the power, that the strength that is in the root when it can hold up a tree, and even much of the ground is washed away around it. There's a tremendous power in root. And I think it's that way in our spiritual life as well. When there's strength in the root, we can stand. And that strength has to be in Christ. Let's come before the Lord in prayer.